All right, if you would please grab the Heavenly Library, take down the Gospel of Luke, and go to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to give you a quick warning. It's a nice warning. This is a story you have heard before. Your warning is don't fall asleep because you've heard this before. All right? Because I want us to look at a very familiar story that's not just known among believers, but it's known throughout the whole world. In fact, it is known so well that even in our nation, in many states, we actually have laws named after this story. That's how prominent it is. But here's your second warning. We often miss the big point of the story. Beginning today and for the next couple of Sundays, we're going to dig into the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, you've heard it, and I know many of you went, okay, good, I'm done for the next few Sundays. I'll just wash in the house. But the story is not about Jesus telling us, you know what, you really need to be nice to people and you really need to do nice things to people. That should be a given. Because when you go into God's word, one of the most fascinating things is even the ungodly, even the Gentiles know how to be nice to other people. When I was working in the news business, it would just fascinate me sometimes when you would hang out with people that were a little different, especially the criminal mindset. And you'd be around people that in your eyes were just greatly wicked and ungodly. It was so fascinating. We have this impression that people like that are just not nice to anybody. But even the ungodly are nice to people. If it's their people. If it's their crowd. Jesus will make that point. Even the Gentiles know how to love those who love them. This story is about a challenging love. A few moments ago, Diesel opened this up for us with the introduction, in which we find that a lawyer is going to stand up and actually have the audacity to question Jesus, to put him to the test. And for you and I to hear the question, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You'd be thinking like me, okay, what's the test in that? What's that? I mean, if you could you ask Jesus any question? Wouldn't that be your question? Wouldn't you almost sound like even the rich young ruler who had the exact same question? Well, Lord, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? Why do I get in? What am I still lacking to get in? Jesus, understanding that this was a test and wasn't necessarily a question out of sincerity, will turn the table and say, what do you see in the law? And the man quotes the Shema that we mentioned earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, good answer. You can almost see the guy going, yeah. But then his follow-up question is what led to the story. Who's my neighbor? Who is Jesus asking me to love? Who is it? You would please let's stand for the reading of God's word, and we're going to read the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. And Jesus replied, verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and He set him on his own animal and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy? And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. You can be seated. I want to begin with what we often miss in this story and what is actually the premise of the story. It's not about just go out there and do nice things and do good things for people. That should be a given and that should be a part of our lives. And what's interesting, even if we have no relationship with the Lord at all or no relationship with Jesus, or we don't even consider ourselves to be a religious person, we get that and we understand that. And for the most part, we know what that looks like because we know what we want others to do for us. The difference in this story is who exactly do I have to help? Who exactly do I have to go out of my way to care for? Who exactly do I need to love to fulfill the Lord's foundational principle of all of Scripture? And that is my neighbor. Who exactly is my neighbor? What's powerful about the Shema commandments, and I hope you were here last Sunday because David in the final hour lesson really laid out for us very, very well what it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's to identify with our Lord, especially to identify with Jesus as being our sacrifice. And just like in the Jewish day, in the ancient days, when they took a sacrifice to the temple, they had to put their hands on the head of the sacrifice, therefore identifying themselves with who is, or this one, this animal that's going to take their place. That you identify with the sacrifice and you seek to be a sacrificial servant as well, because we identify to Jesus. We love our Lord. We love Jesus. But he didn't call us just to go to church and just to do religious things and just to learn Bible principles. He called us to a transformation of how we see others, that we become an instrument of his love in a world that desperately needs to see his kind of love. Hence, who is my neighbor? One of the things I want us to do in this short series is we're going to look at that conflict between Jew and Gentile, and to really get a good grasp of why there was such a rivalry there in the first place and why this was such a rub to this lawyer, because he couldn't even say Samaritan. Who's the guy got it right? You and I say, well, the Samaritan. He goes, yeah, I guess the one who showed mercy. I don't even want to say it, is my interpretation of that. But there is this principle that Jesus shares, and this is our take home for the week. I'm already at the take home. Aren't you excited? It's this admonition. Go, do likewise. So our introduction is very simple. My challenge, your challenge, is to go do likewise. 3 points. Number one, go. Does anybody know what the word go actually means in the Greek? To go. Yeah. It means you've got to move. It means you've got to walk. It means you've got to traverse. It means you and I have to get up off our spiritual couch and actually go. All right, who's having fun this month sitting in a different seat? All right, who's, you know, I tell you, nobody raised their hand. And what was funny, when I got back Wednesday night, I was gone Sunday, I had at least 3 people come up to me and go, you command this of us and you demand this and you're not even here to do it. Well, just so you know, I'm watching the live stream, and I've asked the guys to get a wide shot. And, no, I'm just kidding you. But it's a very simple thing to do. But isn't it interesting how uncomfortable that is for those of us that are so addicted to routine? Isn't that interesting? And isn't it interesting when April comes around, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. We're all going to go back to the same place. I've actually had fun with some of you husbands in the back who've come up to me and go, thanks a lot. Now I can't find my wife. I said, welcome to my Sunday every Sunday. I've been asking Cheryl to wear a fluorescent veil for years just so I can find her in this place. I'll have to ask somebody, where is she? And there's been times I've just gone and sat somewhere else and I looked for her when I preached and then I go sit down. But I know it's a simple thing, and I know it may be a little bit aggravating. But here's a very common principle, brethren. You can't change until you change. We can dream about change in our life. We can dream about growth in our life. We can dream about having new habits or new goals in our life, but nothing happens without change. The very first thing that Jesus says to all of us, and this is so hard for us, is that we got to get out of our routine. We have to be able to see beyond our own little world that maybe we've created for ourselves. We have to be willing to go. We have to be willing to be made uncomfortable. We have to be willing to put ourselves in situations where we have to take the lead. And that's not always easy. I could tell you of many examples, but I'll share with you just one. And unfortunately, it happened to my daughter. My daughter is a lot like her father. She can't leave somebody left behind. If she sees somebody sitting by themselves, somebody that seems to be alone, somebody that hasn't been introduced or brought into the group, she can't stand it. You got to go get them. That's why she likes to go to the visitor. She likes to reach out to people every Sunday. And she was doing that at churches that she wasn't even a member of. That's kind of how she determined whether she would like a place or not. If she has to go and be the person to invite visitors when she's a visitor and come for the visitor when she's the visitor, that's a pretty good idea that this may not be her place. But she said to an older Christian who had actually been a leader in the church for many years, hey, there's somebody up there we need to go and meet. And he said, knock yourself out. I said, honey, that's not easy for some people. And here's the point. It's not easy for any people when they're going outside their comfort zone to people who are not in their people group. I would hope that for most of us, it's pretty nice and easy for us to do things for people that are nice and love us. Would that be fair? Most of us can do that. Please tell me yes. It's the person you don't know. It's the person you don't understand. It's the person who may even be a little challenging that it's hard. But Jesus says, go. Go. Get out of your comfort zone and go. Who's my neighbor? Well, you need to look outside your neighborhood. You got to go. Secondly, you got to do. This is very deep, isn't it? You got to do. It means something needs to be executed. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be fulfilled. In other words, there's a little bit of service. There's a little bit of spending. There's a little bit of sacrifice that needs to take place in this relationship with your neighbor. In other words, you have to be willing to bend. You have to be willing to give. You have to be willing to be troubled. Proverbs 31, verse 20. Those who extend their hand to the poor reach out their hands to the needy. The proverb will also say a little bit later, those who lend to the poor lend to the Lord. In other words, there's a little bit of a cost. Isn't it interesting that when you and I look at this story, we see and we grasp that here was a guy on a journey. Anybody ever noticed on journeys, that's the last time you want to be inconvenienced? Have you ever picked up on that? Anybody here got a dad who just has to get there real quickly? Anybody got one of those dads? We got to go. We got to go. Load them up. We got to go. I got to go to the bathroom. No, we got to go. Don't inconvenience me. We got to go. We got to beat that traffic through Atlanta. We got to go. And then invariably, there's that somebody in your travel party who doesn't get it. Oh, we got to go. Loving your neighbor is not about convenience. In fact, sometimes it's not even on the schedule for that day at all. You change your schedule because there's a need and you go. And more importantly, you do. Because you can't leave it undone. The Levite and the priest, I don't know what their obligations were. We're going to talk more about some of their obligations and what's fascinating about this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho was apparently a place where a lot of priests lived. But isn't it interesting in the story? You and I get frustrated about the priest and the Levite. Anybody get a little rub? Can you believe those guys? Can you believe those guys? We don't even talk about the robbers who beat the guy up. We don't even want to look for those guys. Isn't that crazy? Hey, what about those robbers? No, we go, can you believe that? Well, they're the people that should be willing. No, we'll talk more about it. We're the people that should be willing to be inconvenienced and do. And then the third point, very simple. Likewise. This is the rub. This is the point of the story. It's not about just doing good deeds. It's about seeing the value in somebody who is greatly different from you. The Samaritan. You go back to the original question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? If you were to ask that guy, what about the Samaritan? He'd say, he ain't got no chance. Ain't gonna happen. He's a Samaritan. And what Jesus did is he pulled that little segment of society and set them on a pedestal. That's a rub. It's a big rub. But Jesus' point is, in the story, he got it right. So here's what I want you to do this week. You ready? All of us. This is our challenge. I want you to pray about this. Lord, help me to understand what it means to truly love a neighbor. Got it? We ready? Number two. Do something this week. Do something this week. And people that are on your inner circle don't count. You should be doing that anyhow. Just for the record, all the wives, you should get flowers regardless. That's not his act of service this week. And if you're like me, you better know what kind of flowers those are. They're daisies. Daisies, not carnations. Another story there. All right. But I want you to do something for somebody you normally wouldn't do something for. For some of us, if we eat out a lot, it may actually be a good tipper for once in a while. And tip generously, even if it wasn't the service you wanted. But do something. Just very simple. And then thirdly, think about your circle. Is it a little too tight? And are you willing to look outside your circle when it comes to service? I hope that you understand in this Match Madness thing is to make us talk to people we may not normally talk to. Because even in churches, isn't it easy to get into circles? Right? We actually have a word for that. What do we call it? What do we call it? Clicks. It's easy. They're our people. We talk about the same things. We enjoy the same things. We do the same things. Challenge yourself. But ultimately, I want us to see this. Our Lord Jesus is the example for loving a neighbor. To love those who don't love you. To be kind to those who are not kind to you. It's the transformation that comes from the Spirit of Christ when Christ lives in us. So a very simple introduction today. You ready? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. And we're going to dig in it for the next couple of weeks. If you bow with me, please. Lord, we come before you as your servants, striving to love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to work on us so that that is truly the life that we live. And then, dear Lord, help us to take it a step further, understanding the foundation of the law and the prophets, and that is to truly love our neighbor as ourself. So help us this week, dear Lord, to get out of our comfort zones and to spend some time, spend some money, spend some energy, to spend ourselves in service to those we don't normally serve. And help us, dear Lord, to better understand this story that you're sharing, not just to this lawyer, but more importantly to us, that we can be to this world a true good Samaritan to go and to do likewise. For dear Lord, it's our greatest desire. There is no greater desire in our heart than to live a life pleasing to you and to encourage others to do the same. So create in us clean hearts this week to become good Samaritans to those who desperately need that affection and that love from you. And we ask all this in the name of the one who is truly a good neighbor to all of us, our King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, if there's any way that we can love you, maybe it's you need to respond to the Lord this morning and come to him and to put him on in baptism. Maybe you're ready to begin that walk, or you just need some encouragement in any way that we can help you. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.